It's time for Brother Larry's Sinner's Sunday. Oh yeah. You tell him, Larry. Brother Larry coming at ya.
Thank you, Brother Dre. Thank you, Larry. And welcome. Welcome everyone to Sinner's Sunday. Our 66th gathering here in this creaky old chapel. As I look out the windows, I see a riot of color. There are plenty of oaks and sycamore among those eucalyptus trees, and the sight is beautiful. Of course, I see them so clearly because there are a few panes of glass missing from the old windows here, but that's okay. That's part of what makes this place so comfortable. You've been in those glass and marble palaces, and beautiful many of them are. But a little overwhelming, cavernous, impersonal. People like to call temples and churches and cathedrals God's house. And they've built some spectacular ones like Notre Dame, and awe-inspiring it is. But if God is the author of the universe, he must look at churches about the same way we look at houses small kids slap together from the couch cushions. I'm pretty sure God owns all the real estate already, but he probably appreciates the gesture. As you may know, this show is a spinoff from That Larry Show, and over there we're sort of word freaks, and of course there's some seepage into here. And a word you hear a lot is happy and happiness. Everybody wants to be happy. And happy is great. But to use another hugely popular word, is it sustainable? Curiously, the word happy and happiness is not used all that much in the Bible. Some sources say a total of 111 times. Now that may sound like a lot, but not when you compare it to its cousin word, peace. They say peace is used 429 times. Impressive. Do those Bible guys know something? Maybe. The opposite of happiness is sadness, of course, and shrinks say all sadness is caused by the same thing, loss. Is that true? A while back, I bought myself a snappy little computer, one of those Lenovos. Now, my workhorse laptop is great, but it's just too big to schlep around on drives and airplanes. So I found this cool little one. Does what I need and not too expensive, and if I lose it or break it, well, no tears, no regrets, no big deal. Damned if I could not locate it recently. I'd been traveling with it and was nearly positive I'd not left it in a hotel room, but what had I done with it? When I discovered it was missing, well, did I need it at that moment? No. Was there anything critically important on its hard drive? No. But still, I rarely lose stuff, and while I was not unhappy, I was not at peace. Locating that little gizmo was occupying most of my thoughts most of the time. I just couldn't help it. The opposite of loss is gain, and strangely, the gain of that device, like all material things, while it had given me very temporary happiness, hey, look at this compact little gizmo that does all this cool stuff, in a matter of days, it gave me no more happiness than a fork or a screwdriver. Just another tool. And now, its loss was depriving me of a measure of peace. So there's a tremendous, relentless emphasis in the world on being happy. We see it constantly. We're bombarded at every moment by marketers trying to sell us products that will thrill us, right? Sexy cars and exotic vacations and cosmetics and cell phones and tablets and beer and booze and drugs. Oh, the chemicals they sell to give us synthetic happiness. Big Pharma is over a $500 billion business. But it does seem that happy, which is a state of what? Mild euphoria? You're not bouncing off the walls with joy, but you are. You're probably smiling and in a very good mood, but usually it's fleeting. And after a while it fades. And if our lives are reasonably fulfilled, we revert not to sadness, but to a state of peace. Maybe peace is what we should be shooting for. The peace of a good night's sleep. A few bucks in the bank, a decent place to live. Some people to love and who love you back. The people I know who are striving for happiness never seem to be happy. They'll go from one acquisition to the next, but it's never enough. There's always a better cell phone or car or boat or girlfriend or wife. Some people trade in entire belief systems every few years. I knew a guy that went from Christian to Buddhist to atheist in about 10 years. Maybe he's a Scientologist now, who knows? But he was never happy. He was always kind of pissed off at something. And so he was also never at peace. Oddly, he had no reason not to be. He was a good-looking dude, good job, some nice girlfriends, but he was convinced there was always something or someone better. JC was big on the P word. He knew all about loss. From the moment he became self-aware, he probably knew he was on a direct course for the biggest loss of all. But then, aren't we all? He was always doing things and telling stories that explain loss and peace. The prodigal son about the kid who was a fool and an ingrate and went out into the world and blew a fortune on temporary kicks. But when he finally returned, his old man was overjoyed to have him back, because that kid had been a loss. His absence left a hole in his father's heart. The siblings were miffed and had difficulty understanding. The prodigal son was not Dad's favorite, but he was at the moment of return. The missing son had deprived his father of not happiness, but peace. He probably had lain awake at night, wondering where the kid was and if he was safe or hungry. JC told a similar, simpler story about the shepherd and his sheep. Even though the guy had a flock of 100, if one wandered off into the wilderness, he could not rest until he had recovered that one lost sheep. And when he did, he hoisted it up on his shoulders and carried it back home, happy, and then at peace. So where do we get peace? If only they sold it on Amazon Prime. Next day delivery, huh? For most of us, peace comes as a package deal, bundled with wisdom. The wisdom to know what's really valuable. There was a famous prayer a high school teacher I had used to recite at the top of every class. In case you've not heard it, here it is. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. I knew I'd never seen that prayer in the Bible, so I looked it up, and it was written by some guy called Reinhold Niebuhr. He was some kind of theologian preacher. And somehow, over time, that prayer became standard issue for people in Alcoholics Anonymous. But what I also discovered is that it's actually a condensed version of a slightly longer prayer. And I'm going to parse it a little as we go. And after that first phrase, this is what it says. Living one day at a time. Whoa, hey, there's an AA motto, right? Enjoying one moment at a time. Well, yeah, that's a great way not to be that guy always looking for his next thing or thrill or wife or whatever. Contentment, huh? One moment at a time. Accepting hardship as a pathway to peace. Whoa. Now there's a controversial idea. Baptism by fire. But hardship does tend to smooth out our karma and give us an appreciation for the true good times in life. Taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, yeah, the world can be a crappy place. It's very imperfect, and that will never, ever change, no matter how many laws they pass. Trusting that you will make all things right, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Well, that last line is the key line. I'd never seen or heard of it until today. I've met only a few people I believe were truly serene, truly peaceful. That peace just radiated off them like rays of the sun. It was amazing and unmistakable. And they were not sick rich or surrounded by the best friends you could imagine. They were people who were just dead certain, without the slightest doubt, that this life is only one leg of a journey, that there's a transfer down the road, and the next stop is even better. By the way, I found that little computer. I'd stuffed it in a drawer, and I felt happy for a while. But I think peace, that's really where it's at. Thanks for hanging with me today. Come back and see me this Tuesday or thereabouts for the regular show at thatlarryshow.com, where you can visit and check out many other episodes. And if you'd like to help keep this ministry going, look for the Patreon button there and click it. I'll see you soon. And until next time, God bless.